Well, today teaching us is going to be one of our very own leaders, Stephanie Caldwell. Stephanie and her husband, Tim, have been around Fellowship for 12 years, long time they've been here. Tim has been on staff in various roles, and he is currently the campus pastor for Midtown. So you may attend Midtown, and you know Tim very well. You may have been around here, and you know Tim and Stephanie very well. So I'm going to invite Stephanie to come up and talk to us today. Let's give her a hand.
Thank you. Great. Hi, I am Stephanie, and I'm so excited to be up here with you guys today. I love Bloom. I'm so thankful for it because even though, as you'll see in a second when I show the picture of my family, my kids are older now, I still need to be reminded of this every week about how to love and discipline them at the same time. So I'll show you a picture of our family. This is our crew. That's my husband, Tim. We've been married for 20 years. Our oldest is Emily. She's the one on the right with the hair. She always gets comments on her hair. She is a senior this year. And then our second born is Ansley on the left, and she is 16 and a sophomore. She just got her license, so we have two drivers now. And then Hudson is the blondie. He's 13 and in eighth grade. And Silas is our youngest, and he is 8, and he is in, did I say third grade for Hudson? Anyways, eighth grade. Silas is in third grade. So that's our crew. And so if I'm talking about them, you can kind of have a little bit of a picture of who is who. So we're going to talk about, we've been talking about why we discipline, when to discipline, how hard it is to discipline. And today we're going to talk about the order of discipline. Have you ever gotten in trouble for something that you didn't even know was wrong? Like you got punished or you got in trouble for something that you did that you didn't even know you did anything wrong? Well, I have, and it made me think back. We used to live near South Lake, Texas. We lived there for about 6 years before we moved to Little Rock, and one time I was pulling into a shopping center to go to Blockbuster. Anybody? Okay, so I was going to Blockbuster, and all of a sudden, this policeman's behind me with his lights on, and I'm like, what did I do? Anyways, come to find out, A, my tags are expired, so I got in trouble for that. But secondly, I got in trouble for crossing a double yellow line. Has anyone ever heard of this? So I was turning left into the shopping center, and that line that separates the two ways of traffic was two yellow lines. And he said, it's illegal to cross a double yellow line. Who knew? Maybe y'all do. Maybe I missed that part in driver's ed. I didn't know. But I was just like, oh, what? I was so frustrated. I felt so cheated, so mad. Like, how could you give me a ticket for something I didn't even know was wrong? So I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. But maybe your kids have been in that situation. Maybe I know my kids have probably been in that situation, but we want to avoid that by learning about the three steps or parts of discipline. The first step of discipline that we need to talk about today is that we need to teach our children. We need to teach them what to do. The second one is we must train them how to do that. And finally, the third one is correction. If we skip the first two steps, and we just automatically go to correction, our babies are going to be frustrated, mad, felt cheated, who knows? I mean, just all the emotions that you have felt if you've ever experienced that when you, if you've been punished or, you know, corrected for something that you did wrong that you didn't even know was wrong. So the first part is that we really have to teach them. Discipline is teaching them. The definition of teach should be up there, to show or explain to someone how to do something. In the New Testament, in the Bible, Jesus teaches a group of men. Do you remember what those 12 men were called? Anybody? Disciples, that's right. Jesus taught the disciples. Does disciple sound anything like discipline? Yes, because disciple is actually the root word of discipline. It's also a Latin word that means pupil. It's a Latin word for pupil. So often we think about discipline when we're like, I need to discipline him. We think of punishment. I don't know about you, but like it's kind of a nice word for punishment. Sometimes I feel like he needs to be disciplined, and we're really saying he needs to be punished. But if we can just like do a little brain switch in our brain and think, wow, okay, discipline. When I see that word discipline, I see the word disciple. And Jesus taught his disciples. And discipline is teaching our children what to do. It's not punishing them. It's teaching them. So I hope that you guys will see that. When you think about the word discipline, you'll think disciple, Jesus, disciples, teach. And we teach, first of all, by modeling. And we model the behavior that we want to see in them. Jesus taught this way too. He modeled to his disciples how to live. I mean, he was 100% God and 100% man, and he was perfect. So thank the Lord we have him. But he was perfect, and he modeled to them, and he told us, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it's a good thing that he told us that, and he showed us how to live, because in 1 John 2:6, it says, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. And so we know how to do that because Jesus modeled that for us when he was here on earth. We also teach about informal instruction. This is just your day in, day out, as you go. You've probably already done it once you've gotten here several times. You might have already been teaching your child as we walk along. We have to stop and think when our child is exhibiting a behavior that we do not like or is not socially acceptable, and we need to stop and think, I'm teaching. We need to think through, have we taught them? Have we taught them along the way of how to act in this circumstance? For me, I think about sharing when my kids are sharing, like learning to share. Share. Isn't that just a very difficult concept for children to understand? I tried to break it down for them into taking turns. I try not to use the word share until they were like 4 or 5, just because they don't really understand that word. I mean, think about it. Share. Okay, share, whatever that means. But if I take a turn, you take a turn, we're taking turns. And we have to even in times like when it's so hard because you might be embarrassed because you might have a friend over to play and your kid is acting a fool. No, they're getting upset because they don't want that other child to play with their toy. Well, instead of going, well, share. we got to take that time, just take a step back and be like, teaching. I'm teaching them. And take that moment to just informally, short little blips, teach them, remember, we take turns, we're kind. Jesus informally instructed as well, as he and the disciples walked about. In Mark 4:34, it says that when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. So Jesus went along with and did the same thing through informal instruction. Thirdly, we teach about formal instruction. It's important to set aside specific times for instructing. I think about times like, say, your family is getting ready to go to a wedding and you have to bring your children with you. And before you go to the wedding, you go, okay, now, when we get to the place, we're going to sit down and we're not going to talk. We have to be really quiet. I brought you this sucker. You can suck on it during the service. I brought your crayons. You sit quietly and you talk. And that's a formal way that you're preparing them, you're teaching them. Of course, when they get older, it's things like, now when you go to sleep over at so-and-so's house, you may not watch that movie that their parents let them watch or whatever it may be. You're like preparing them for how to act. It's a very formal discussion that you're going over. With Jesus, the main moment of formal, or one of the formal times of instruction that Jesus taught, I think of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5-7. The Sermon on the Mount is the last sermon that Jesus taught before he went to be crucified for us. So it's words that we need to live by. And if those are his last words, I think they're pretty important for us to really think on and abide by. So ladies, if we want our kids to be able to do certain things, act a certain way, achieve lofty ideas, then we must start by teaching them how to do and say those things. And once we taught, the second thing we must do is train. Think about your first job. Did you just show up to work one day and they said, all right, well, clock in, Have fun. When you get done at 5 o'clock, clock back out. Is that what they did to you? No. Somebody taught us and trained us and gave us time to learn the system, learn our job. And that is what we are to do with our kids, to train them. The definition is up on the board, or not board, sorry. I have a teaching background. On the screen, to teach a particular skill or type of behavior through practice and instruction over a period of time. And sometimes it's over and over and over and over again, but we are training them. Something like an example from home just makes me think about, we do our laundry and we fold them, and then we put all the laundry, folded laundry, on the couch, right? And then we have kids like take piles and take them back to their room. Well, let's just say that I never told my kids what to do with that laundry. They just saw it laying on the couch, and I said, okay, you guys go put away your laundry. And I never had told them what to do. They might put it under the couch. They might melt down because they kind of have a sense of what they're supposed to be doing and they can't do it. It's too much. I don't know how to do this. Or they might go and stick it. They might go stick it in their closet. Who knows? But basically, we have to model to them. We have to walk with them. You take the shorts. You take all the shorts. I'll take the shirts. We'll walk together. I'll put the shirts in the drawer. You put the shorts in the drawer, and we come back. And then the next step, when we've done this a little bit, it's like, okay, now you get to put, and we separate it into piles, shirts, shorts, pajamas, socks, underwear. And we like time them and run them back and time them and run them back and train them and help them know how to do this. At least that's how I did it. But once we do train them in whatever skill it is that we're wanting to train them in, that is where the correction comes in. So now if we've already done that and mama's already taught you, then I better not find your clothes back in that dirty clothes hamper again because you know where they go and it's time for correction. So it's in this training phase that our kids need to feel comfortable asking questions and understanding what they're supposed to be doing and also just failing. That's okay. We're training. We're training them how to do this. When we look at the scriptures, it's a little bit harder to see how Jesus trains us because we didn't walk with him like the disciples did. But thankfully, the Bible tells us, A, that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and training in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So we have the scriptures. And B, Jesus promised his disciples that after he left the earth, someone was coming who would remain with them and teach and guide them. In John 14:26, Jesus says, "But the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Praise the Lord that God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He teaches us, his disciples, because we are followers of Jesus, we are his disciples. He teaches us through his word. And then we train ourselves by reading and rereading the word and practicing and training through Jesus' teaching. So if this is something new to you, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I could totally go deeper with this. The Holy Spirit is amazing and such a gift. But obviously, that would take like a whole nother talk. So if you would love to know more about the Holy Spirit and how to hear him, he's our trainer, so to speak, because he that still small voice, he tells us, he whispers truth to us. If you would love to know more about that, you're welcome to talk to me or Carrie or your leader or Amy. any of us would love to talk to you about the Holy Spirit because that's a part of God, who God is and how important that is to us. Okay, so let's review. What's the first step in disciplining our children? Teaching them. Second step is training them. And finally, the third step is correcting. And thankfully, it's not my job to teach that. I'm not teaching about correcting because I need to be sitting where you guys are when we're talking about correcting. I am like far from perfect at any of this. But I'm actually not super great at all about the correction part. I love the teaching and the training part. So if we're going to teach and train and disciple our children, let's get practical for a few minutes, okay? There are a thousand little things that we are teaching our children inadvertently every day. They're watching us. Some of them we're really proud of, and some of them we're not so proud of. And we don't want anyone to know that they learned that from us. But children are complex beings, so we want to make sure we're teaching and training the whole child, okay? So I have thought about a few areas just to think about as we're teaching and training. And the first one is that we must teach them how to do physical and mental accomplishments, or we're training them physically and mentally. Remember how you were, how proud you were of when your kiddo took their first step? Or maybe you're hoping they take their first step one day, or maybe you're dreading. So that's a different subject. Okay, so are you currently helping your baby to hold a spoon correctly and pray that they learn to feed themselves without getting it everywhere? Are you ready to run alongside your child and help them ride their bike without training wheels? Right now, I'm trying to teach my almost 18-year-old how to just cook a few meals, how to go to the grocery store, and make a list, shop before she leaves. Maybe you're already thinking of a list of things that you are wanting to teach your son or daughter. These are important. They're depending on us, and maybe even a therapist, to help them learn how to do these things. And it's up to us to teach them physically and mentally. Every summer, I feel really ambitious around, like, the end of May, June. I don't know if you guys are like this, and I get excited. And one year I was like, okay, this is the year. I'm teaching my children how to clean our house from top to bottom. I'm ready to relinquish this responsibility. So, of course, I got on Pinterest, and I found these buckets of that you could buy at the dollar store. And you you attach a little list to each bucket. There's like a bucket for each, oh, there we go, for each different types of room. I took a picture for you. So the bathroom, like, so this is the bathroom bucket on the left, and it has like what to do, like put away clothes, bath toys, hang up towels, clean mirror, blah, 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 blah. And then the family room, put away clutter, clean under the couch, has all these little printable tags. I just got off Pinterest. And because somebody else was smart and thought them up. But then you put all the cleaning supplies needed for those rooms, and that way, whenever it's time to clean that room, they just take the bucket and they've got their list right there for them. Well, I didn't just like go through all that work and print it out and hand it to them and be like, okay, guys, clean. When I get back, I want this whole house to be spotless. I wish it worked like that. But I had to take the time to teach them, train them how to go through each step, how to clean the bathtub, how to clean the toilet. I mean, all the stuff. And so that's just part of it. But that's the thing. These concepts, these routines, these behaviors that we're teaching them are like so abstract to them. Like the sharing thing I was telling you about, or cleaning. Like, okay, like we know what it is because someone taught us and trained us and we've been doing it. But these are abstract concepts for them, so we need to break them down. Is Agent Oso still around? Okay. for my 8-year-old, Agent Oso, I don't remember much about that story except for 3 special steps. There's like a little song, and I had to like Google it on YouTube, but he'd sing some song about 3 special steps. And I think he's brilliant, or the writers of Agent Oso are brilliant, because it really breaks down steps for kids. And so I use Agent Oso. I would be like, okay, Silas, 3 special steps to clean our room. First step, clean up all the Legos and put them away. We would do that. Step 2, pick up the books and put them back on the bookshelf. Step 3, take your dirty clothes and put them in the dirty clothes hamper. And he was like, okay, we can do this, you know? It's so much more helpful to break it down to 3 steps like Agent Oso. Colossians 3:23-24 says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So, secondly, we have to teach and train our kiddos to handle their emotions. Ooh, fun times. We must help them emotionally, which, you know, affects them socially as well, according to my latest research. Humans actually have 27 emotions. 27. But here are the 7 universal emotions that we experience. They're not up there, sorry, but you can get the picture. There's anger, fear, disgust, happiness, sadness, surprise, and contempt. So our children are going to experience those emotions and 20 others. But it's up to us to teach and train them how to handle those emotions. It starts when they're itty bitty. They need to know that it's not bad to experience these emotions. God gave us these emotions. It's how we handle them that matters. And emotions can be big and scary for little kids, and they don't know what to do with themselves. They're experiencing these huge emotions, and they need us to help them know what to do with them. I would say this area of discipline is probably the hardest part, not to skip the first two and just go to correction, right? If your child is all out angry, throwing a fit, or even sometimes, especially I find this with boys, and maybe that's probably not right to say, but in my family, it's the boys. When they get overly excited, I'm like, oh my word, like just bring it down a little bit. So there's just these big emotions, but they're looking to us to know what to do with them. And so we need to be a safe place to them and think, teach, 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 teach. We need to be a safe place to them so they can run and find safety and be understood and be heard. And then we take those and help them shepherd them through, like, how to handle these emotions. What are healthy ways to do these, to handle these emotions? We can say things like, it seems like you're feeling angry. It's okay to feel angry. I would feel angry too. But you know what? If you're angry, you can't hurt people. We can't hurt people. And so it's helpful to give them strategies for when they are angry, when they are sad. Maybe you have a crier that just like, blah, can't handle it when they're sad. Like, that's a big emotion. But they need to know how to handle that in a safe way, in a respectful way. And so one thing I always did with my littles was I would teach them to stomp their foot. Like, if you're mad, like when they were like two. Because I'd rather them stomp their foot and physically like exert motion than like push somebody or chunk a toy across the room or whatever. Like, just providing them a physical way. With our youngest, we're about to break out some tree stumps and some nails and a hammer because he needs some ways to exert that anger and those emotions, especially when they've been bottled up at school all day. And as a side note, if you have a child that continually has big emotions and is having a hard time, you know, with those emotions and controlling those emotions, I have a lot of respect for a lady. Her name is Dr. Karen Purvis. She's written books. She's written a whole study. She has YouTube videos that you can watch, like short little clips of like what to do when your kid lies, what to do when you're, you know, and she's a believer. She's passed away recently, but she has been huge, especially in the adoption world, with helping kids from hard places deal with the emotions that come just from their background. And her teaching has really helped my husband and I a lot, not only with our youngest, but with all your kids, I mean, any of your kids. In fact, Fellowship offers a class called Empowered to Connect, which is a class for parents of adopted children. So I just wanted to share that little insight with you guys that if you need a really practical tool, Google Karen Purvis and YouTube and you can watch some stuff. But let's not forget that so much of how we teach our children is by what we model in handling our emotions. They are watching us, our reactions, every day. No pressure, right? This can feel scary, but praise the Lord, there's hope for us. We have scripture to help us know what to do. Scriptures like Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 that says, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And we even have a personal trainer in the Holy Spirit to help us teach, help us know how to handle our emotions. That still small voice. That scripture that we have posted, like Marley was talking about. We can even post scriptures about anger and ways to have self-control. As parents, we are not only teaching and training our children physically and emotionally, but ultimately we are teaching and training our children spiritually in the way of Jesus. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. From the moment our babies are born, we can be teaching them the way of Jesus by the way we lovingly respond to their needs, the way we sing songs of praise, of faith to our kids. We read stories. We help them memorize scripture. And we show them the importance of Jesus and who he is in our life every day. Do they see you reading your actual Bible? I know that's hard in this day and age because I do it all the time. I use my phone, the Bible app on my phone. But your little ones don't know the difference between scrolling through Instagram or reading your Bible, you know? They just see that dead-gum device in your hand all the time. So I have to remember, too, that they need to see me reading the scriptures and knowing that that Bible is different and important in the way we live. Do they hear you singing or giving praise to the Lord for answered prayers for a beautiful day? Do they hear you talking about your, like, changed lives, stories you've heard of that God is doing, moving around you? Do they hear you confessing your sins to them when you mess up or when I mess up? Our children are hardwired to do what they want to do instead of what anyone else or especially God wants them to do. Like it says in Ephesians 2:3, among them, we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that draws our children to the Father. That's what Scripture says in John 6:44. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. But the Lord has given us these little ones, and I want to be the one to tell them and show them the way of Jesus. Because just like in Romans 10:14, it says, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching it to them? These are our treasures. And these are our ones that we want to impart this knowledge, the salvation of Jesus. Just like we help them identify their emotions and know how to deal with them and express them correctly, we need to help them identify their sin and know what to do with that sin. Lately, I've been telling my youngest when he disobeys me, I'm like, you are choosing to do what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do. And that's called sin. And that's called sin, buddy. And he knows that because he's already learned the Ten Commandments. And I remind him all the time that he has like one job, obey your mother and father. So I've shown him that when he sinned, I tell him that he's not alone. Because the Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God. Ideally, I would say, and Silas, you know what? The Bible also says that the wages of sin or the payment for sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. So son, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. It says that in Romans 5:8. And did you know that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with our heart we believe and are justified, and with our mouths we confess and are saved. This is the way of salvation. This is the way to eternal life. And you know what I pray? I pray that one day after telling him this over and over and over again, that the Father would draw him to himself, that he would be able to understand and take hold of that truth. I praise the Lord that my three older children have confessed Jesus as Lord and made him Lord of their lives, but not yet for this one, for my youngest. I'm praying that he will get there. And I'm hoping that one day he really does believe and he confesses. And then you know what? Just because they come to the Lord, come to know the Lord, those of you with older children know this, doesn't mean they're perfect. Wouldn't that be cool if they just like, yes, I believe in Jesus. I will follow him all the days. I've confessed. They're just like perfect little children. But you know what? Just like us, we're not perfect. And we mess up every day, and they are too. But we can always point them back to 1 John 1:9 that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that is the gospel. If you have not experienced this freedom for yourself, this forgiveness, then there's no way you can teach this to your child. Ladies, do not miss this. All this talk about teaching and training. If you have not called on the name of the Lord and been saved, then today can be the day of your salvation. Today can be that day. And you can truly begin to teach and train your child. This is the only way we can model or instruct them spiritually if it's true of us. So this is how it works. We must teach our babies how to find freedom, our babies, children, you know, I'll keep calling my babies babies, our babies, to find freedom from sin and guilt and lead them back to Jesus every time, because he is there for us every time as well. We don't know a lot. Can I get an amen? We are not guaranteed tomorrow. But what did John 14:16 say? He said, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Holy Spirit, to help you and be with you forever." Forever. He will help us in our time of need forever. So in case you can't tell, this area of spiritual training is kind of my favorite, one of my favorite things to talk about. But for some of you, it might be the most terrifying part of discipline. I was raised in a Christian home with parents that modeled what it looked like to follow Jesus, but I know that I'm the minority when it comes to this, so please don't be discouraged. I was raised in a Christian home, and I'm not even close to being perfect, so there's no need to worry. We can do this, girls. And if you haven't disciplined your children like this, meaning like going by teaching and training and then correction, it's okay. There's no need to feel guilty. I mean, I know I've done this in my life, but there's no need to just be like, "Oh, great, I blew it. Just forget it." This is not to be a discouraging talk at all, because it's not too late to start today. It's never too late to go back. You can always go back to your kids and say, "I realize I haven't explained to you what I meant. Like, and I'm sorry that I jumped at you for that. Let me help you explain. Please forgive me." Or let me help you understand. "Please forgive me. I haven't told you the forgiveness and the freedom that I found in Jesus. I haven't helped you ride your bike," or whatever it may be. Your shortcomings give you a chance to point to something greater than you, because we're not going to always be here, number one. Number two, we're not going to do it right. We're going to fail them. It's inevitable. I know we like to think we're never going to fail our children, but it's inevitable. But we can always point them to Jesus, who will never fail them, because his promises are true. So we all need Jesus to help us and train us, whatever stage we're in, whether we're like, "I'm good at this. I like this part of discipline." Or whether you're like, "This is really hard, and I just have to remind myself all the time, teach, 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 teach." He's given you the local church. He's given you this fabulous group of women. And of course, he's given us himself to help us do this. We can do this. We're not alone. So let's recap one more time. We must teach and train our children. I went through that really fast. We must teach and train our children before we can correct. Number two, we must think of different aspects of training our children. We talked about three: mentally, physically, socially, emotionally, and spiritually. And if you have failed in any way in any of these areas, do not be discouraged. We can do this. Let me pray for us real quick, and then you guys can head on to your groups. God, thank you so much that you haven't left us to figure this out on our own. We all probably have wished at one time or another that our children came with instruction manuals straight home from the hospital, and we could just look up how to handle every little situation that came along. But God, thank you that you have given us your Spirit. Thank you that you've given us your Word. Thank you that you've given us each other to encourage us in this journey and help us along. Lord, I pray that you would be honored. I pray that you would be glorified. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, if there is someone or here today that has not known, that does not know the freedom that comes from forgiveness for the sin, the things that we do wrong, Lord, I pray that they would be able to experience that today, salvation and freedom from the sin and guilt that plagues us. But thank you that you forgive us. Be with us this morning as we are in our discussions, Lord. Lead us, guide us, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.